Our sermon text today is Psalm 87, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, for the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. The word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Jim. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to lead us in that psalm that Lauren just read for us. I wanted to briefly explain our plan for preaching over the next few months as we finish the summer and go into the fall. I think we have 4 more weeks of Psalms, so 4 more weeks of looking at the Psalms. Then as the new semester starts near the end of August, I would like to lead us on a 3-week sermon series on spiritual formation, how we think about our individual lives and how God directs us to grow spiritually. So that's end of August into September as the semester starts, and then after we finish that short series, we'll start working together through the book of Isaiah. That's our goal, that's our plan in the coming months of preaching. But today we come to Psalm 87. Let me pray for us, and then we'll look at this together. Father, we thank you so much for this time where we can gather as your people, as the community that you have formed here, where we can come and sit under your word and hear from you. So we know that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. All that we do in the next short time will be but in vain unless you come, unless you speak, unless your spirit moves and works among us. So we pray now because we need you to work. And we pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted, that you would help us to understand these truths, these promises that you give to us here, and help us to think about how these are to play out in our lives, in our relationships. Change us by your word, we pray. Keep us from distraction. Fix our eyes on Jesus. And lead us forward, we pray, in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 87 is the psalm, the passage of Scripture that I would go to if I ever found myself with 5 minutes to stand up to preach. And that's happened a few times, maybe in Ecuador, other places. Hey, Pastor Jim, can you preach for us? Scary situation for most of us, right? Well, the place I have gone and would go is Psalm 87. Around 20 years ago, way back when I was in seminary still, I was assigned this text for a Hebrew exegesis paper. I came to Psalm 87 and I wasn't too excited about it. I thought, oh, okay, I can do this. But as a young student, I started to look at this psalm. It became one of my favorite parts of Scripture. I love the vivid imagery here. I love the way the sons of Korah unpack the blessings, the promises of living in God's presence, of being a part of God's community, we could say. All right, we read Psalm 87. You heard it read. And we're introduced to this city called Zion. And that's a bit confusing as we come to it. Where is this city? Am I a part of this city? Like the promises mentioned here of Zion, are they for me? Those are kind of the questions that we'll address in a second. But the picture given to us, the image given to us is this is the city of all cities. This is the perfect city. So then, can we be a part of it? Is this for me? Are these promises for me? Well, I want to start by kind of stepping into some of these images, trying to see what the sons of Korah are trying to lead us to consider and see. So I want to do this by stepping into these images, and I want you to imagine with me a few things. Imagine that you're on a long and dangerous journey. Yesterday, you've used up all your supplies of food and water. You're unsure of how much longer you will be able to survive. You face so many dangers along the way, along your path. You've faced wild animals, treacherous thieves, hazardous paths, cliffs. You're still on this journey, and you feel all these dangers around you. And as you're coming up over the crest of a hill, you come over the hill and you see this glorious city built into the side of a mountain. And your heart soars, right? You ran out of food and water. You have all these dangers around you. Your heart soars. You see this city. So you start moving towards this city. But as you do, as you're going towards this city, you have all these questions that come. Will they let me into this city, right? Will they let me in the gates? Will this place be a place that can really protect me from these dangers? Will they have resources for me? Will the people welcome me? All of these questions. It looks great, but once I get inside, once I get in the city, will it really provide these things that I need? Well, we come to Psalm 87. We have this picture of the city, and it's as if we, as pilgrims, right, coming in the city, we step inside and we say, yeah, this city can provide all these things. I'm living my life. It's a dangerous journey. I feel my insecurity. I feel my weakness. These dangers that press in, these concerns, we enter into the city and we look around like, whoa, they have everything that I need for security. They can provide safety and security. This is a welcome community. This is a place with a perfect leader, and this is a place that can provide every resource. Complete satisfaction is found in this city. Dwelling in this place, we find these things. As we come to Psalm 87, right, we do live in our different cities, Ann Arbor, Dexter, Chelsea, but we're also through this psalm invited to not only live in our different places, but to live in Zion. To live in the context of this now, to dwell here and know the security, the community, know what it's like to have the perfect leader over us and perfect satisfaction. We're invited in to live in this context now as we live our lives. Security, community, leadership, and satisfaction. Those will be the four themes. Just this morning, I think, we'll see how this goes, but I think I'm just going to cover the first two. Because I don't want to preach for an hour. So that's good news. It should be smiles, right? It'll be hopefully good, but not as long as going all over all 4 points. So I think our goal this morning will be security and community, how Zion provides this for us. So before we get to those first two main points, I want us to go back to this question, what is this city of Zion and how can we be a part of it? Because we see it unpacked in Scripture, and it progresses, right? Through the promise of Zion progresses through Scripture and the way this is revealed to us. So if we know our Bibles, in the Old Testament, the earthly city of Jerusalem is called the city of Zion. So Jerusalem is Zion. Jerusalem became the place of God's special presence. Solomon built his temple in Jerusalem. God came down in glory and filled the temple. Jerusalem, Zion, place of God's presence and blessing. But then as the story of the Old Testament unfolds, as history unfolds, the people in Zion, the people of God, turn away from God. They turn to idols. They turn to other things. And God comes down in righteous judgment, and he takes them out of the city. He takes them out of Zion. He leads them into exile. Right, away from this place of God's special presence and his blessing. He leads them out, and then all the prophets foretell the time where they'll be brought back in. They're brought back into the city of Zion. But again, after years of rebellion, after years of turning from God, God again rejects his city. He sends his Messiah to Jerusalem. He sends Jesus to Zion. And what do they do with Jesus? They reject him. They scorned him. They mocked him. They crucified him. It's at this point that this special place of Jerusalem was rejected. The earthly city of Jerusalem could no longer be referred to as Zion. And I think we see this in Jesus' teaching. We see this in his death when the temple curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. We see this as Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem. So these promises of Zion, that doesn't mean these promises disappear. But these promises transition. These become ours through Jesus. No longer in this location of Zion or this location of Jerusalem, but they come to us as the church, these global promises. These are global promises. Fulfilled in Jesus, given to us in Jesus. And so we can live in them now as we come to Jesus. We can live in the context of these promises, and we look forward to a day where all of reality, all of God's creation, the new heavens and the new earth will bring in this Zion that we live in. So this is a theme we see throughout Scripture. Already, these are true. We can live in these now. It should change the way we live now, to know security, to know real community and friendship, to have the perfect leader, to know complete satisfaction now that leads content. It changes us now. Already these things are true. They're given to us, and we are to delight in them, but we look forward to the day where we will live in a place where these are fully true, completely true. That's what we come to in Psalm 87. Let's look at first this safety promised. If you look, I'd like you to look at Psalm 87 if you have it on your phone or if you have a copy of God's Word. We see this safety in the opening verses in a few different ways. Verse 1, on the holy mount stands the city he founded. The NIV is, he has set his foundation on the holy mountains. And look down at verse 5, the second part of verse 5. The Most High himself will establish her. So this city, first, we're told, is on the holy mount. That's where it was founded. That's where it was built. Its foundation is in the holy mountains of God. That's the picture of this city. Now, we think of cities like Ann Arbor, right? No really clear boundaries. Maybe the highway around Ann Arbor, maybe that's the worst example, right? Chicago, right? Just spreads all over the place. We think of cities like that, but in ancient times, cities, most cities, had walls around them. And the city was the place where people would go into for security and safety. If you lived outside of the city walls and you heard of an army coming to attack your people, you would run into the city to find safety. Security was found there. In this city, I'm sorry I keep messing with this mic, but it keeps falling down. And this city is built into the side of a mountain, secure. And not just any mountains, look at the text, in these holy mountains. Holy mountains. What does that mean? This word holy, we see it often in Scripture, but as we read Psalm 87, what does it mean that the city is founded in the holy mountains? This is the place where God dwells. The holy God dwells. Holy, what's the idea of holy? Set apart God. Right, we live in this world where circumstances affect us, where the situations around us affect us. We live down here, but the city that we're being invited to be a part of is in the holy mountains, in the presence of God, with a God who is above all, who is over all, who is not affected by circumstances like we are, and situations like we are, who doesn't face the uncertainty that we do in all areas of our lives. The holy God has established his city on the holy mount. He is the one who invites us to be a part of this city now. And then verse 5, the Most High himself will establish her. So you see these themes overlap. The holy mount is the place, and the Most High himself will establish her. This phrase, Most High God, is a name for God. El Elyon in Hebrew, right? The Most High God, he will keep the city. He loves the gates of Zion, we're told. He loves the city. He loves this place. He will protect this city. So the psalmist gives us this song. It's given to us to consider, to understand these promises, and to understand that this is an invitation from God to live here, to dwell in this context where we know safety and security as we live our lives. That does not mean that bad things won't happen. We all know bad things happen. Difficult times come. And work and life and relationships, we walk through those times. But as God's people who are invited to be citizens of this city, and we can dwell in this, as we dwell in the city now, we can know that in the midst of all this insecurity, we're also invited into this place where the Most High God protects, cares for us. And we really know that in our lives, in the lives of our families, we know that all things work together for good. We know this as we live our lives. Perfect security. I think I mentioned Ecuador earlier, but I think of this as I think of this theme in life. There's this one place in Ecuador, it's called the Devil's Cauldron. I probably mentioned this before. I find it to be a terrifying place. High school kids don't. We go on this path, and there's this rope bridge across, you know, a part of the Devil's Cauldron. And I get on the rope bridge, and I hold on to the rope, or the metal, whatever side, like this. I walk slowly, and then all these high school punks start jumping around, swinging it back and forth. And I think, my goodness. I think in that illustration, they are displaying what it would look like in life, kind of, to trust God. Maybe that's a little bit extreme. Maybe not that cavalier. But we live our lives and it feels like we're on a rope bridge. And I think we can start to question the security of our lives. You know, will this bridge really hold us? Will life really work out? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And we walk hesitatingly through life. Where I think maybe these high school kids haven't thought through all these things, but maybe, you know, thinking about, well, these are good engineers who have built this bridge, and this bridge is stable, and there are all these factual reasons that we can walk across the bridge in confidence, right? I think that's how we have to live our lives. Knowing that we can trust in him. Knowing that we can place our confidence in him. Knowing that when terrible things come into our lives, not in a trite way, oh, who cares? But we can trust in him. We can turn to him. We know he is above. He is the Most High. He loves his people. He loves his city. He has established his city. He will keep us safe and secure. We run to him. We trust in him. We see his goodness. Now, it's in the last few years that for me, maybe just this happens with aging, where there's increased anxiety in life, increased fears. I don't remember thinking some of these things when you hear the news or your kids start to grow up, they start to drive. All of these increased anxieties and fears in my life. And it was about 10 years ago that I was encouraged at a pastor's fraternal meeting to wake up every morning and read the Psalms. And I've loved it for 10 years. I've tried to practice this where you wake up. So if it's July 20th today, right, you read Psalm 20. Then you add 30, read Psalm 50, add 30, read Psalm 80. So 5 psalms a day, and throughout the month, then you read through all the psalms. And, you know, at first you go, oh, this is a good idea, I'll do it. Now I feel like I'm to a point where I need this. Where I hear something on the news about Iran, like, threatening new, like, I don't know, like, can they do that? Like, how scary is this? Or my kids are doing this, or my daughter's going to college. Right? All these things, all these fears grow. And I'm to the point now where I need to wake up and read and see, okay, God is my security. God is my refuge. God is my rock. And it's amazing through five psalms how that's just pounded into me in the morning, right? God is our only comfort. God is our strength. God is, and you feel it again and again, and you can kind of leave that time. I can leave that time. Okay. God is my security. So yes, we should read our Bibles and pray every day. That should be a habit we're forming. But I think as we grow in the faith, we will more and more start to see we need to hear from God. We need to be redirected to his promises. We need to know of the security found in him. And we see it vividly pictured for us in this city, founded in the holy mountains, established by the Most High. Security in him. There's in C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters, which is from a senior devil to a younger devil, his nephew devil, I think, he says this, and I think it's helpful here. My dear Wormwood, so this is a underling devil, I am delighted that your patient's age and profession make it possible, but by no means certain that he will be called up for military service. We want him to be in the maximum place of uncertainty. That's the goal, as devils. So that his mind will be filled with contradictory pictures of the future, every one of which arouses hope or fear. There is nothing like suspense or anxiety for barricading a human's mind against the enemy, from keeping this individual from going to God. He, God, wants men to be concerned with what they do, how they are to live. Our business as devils is to keep them thinking about what will happen to them. What could go wrong? We come to God's word, and we are to see the security promised and offered as citizens of this city, welcomed in. May we be a people who move towards this security. Now let's move forward to the second point, perfect community. If you look at verses 3-5, glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mentioned Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. So two themes here. I think we see the global nature of this city by these nations that are mentioned. And then we see the amazing extent of God's grace in these nations that are mentioned. So first, the global nature. Each of these are countries. I know it could throw us off in verse 4 when it says Rahab or Rahab, but that's a name for Egypt in the Old Testament too. So it's not just an Old Testament character, but also refers to the country of Egypt. So we see the global nature. If you look at these countries that are mentioned, it's as if the sons of Korah are pointing in different directions on the map. So from the place of Jerusalem, from this place of God's special presence, they write this song and they're pointing north, they're pointing east, they're pointing west, they're pointing south, right? They're pointing in all directions and saying that these people from these countries, from all of these places, will be a part of Zion. Which is good news for most of us who aren't from Jerusalem, right? Who aren't from this part of the world. We're welcomed in. All the nations are welcome to be a part of this. The prophet Micah says it this way, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. It shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All nations will come and be a part of Zion, are invited to be a part of this. This is true now as we see nations come. This is true now. We see it, a little picture of this even here. We prayed for Lee's ministry with Chinese students. Chinese students come, they hear of Jesus, and they're welcomed into the city. They're welcomed into this. And people come to the university from all kinds of places and here are involved, come into ministries and churches and are brought in to these amazing promises. So we see the global extent, which we're living out now, and one day will be perfect. We see the end of the book of Revelation, all the nations worshiping Jesus. But also the second theme, the amazing extent of God's grace. Why do you think this points to the amazing extent of God's grace? Think about these countries. If Rahab is Egypt, then we have Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia. Why these countries? And how does this point to God's amazing grace? Think about that. Egypt, what'd they do? If you know Old Testament story, what did they do, right? Enslave the people of God. Babylon, what did they do? We talked about that exile earlier. They were part of that exile, taking God's people away from Jerusalem. Philistia, who's the really bad guy from Philistia? Right? Who's the bad? Goliath, right? Tyre plundered Jerusalem. Ethiopia, a nation in Africa who hired themselves out as mercenaries. So I think what we get here in this list of nations is these are the enemies of God's people. So the sons of Korah are pointing in all directions saying, all, everyone's welcomed in, and God's great enemies are welcomed in to be fellow citizens in this same city. Welcomed in? How can this be? How can the Philistines be welcomed? How can Babylon, how can Egyptians be welcomed in? Well, how can Saul of Tarsus be welcomed in? How can you and I be welcomed in? How can any of us as sinners be welcomed in to these promises, to know security, to know community and friendship that we see here? To know what we'll see in a few weeks, this perfect liturgy, to know this satisfaction. How can we just be welcomed in? How can there be this open gates to this city? How is this possible? Saul of Tarsus, who breathed out threats and murders against God's people, welcomed in here? A bad guy like that welcomed in? Early on in my ministry, I taught a Bible study every Wednesday morning at a senior living facility, and it was one of my favorite things. People in their 80s, I was probably in my mid-20s, every week show up, go through a Bible study with them, talk, and there was so much wisdom there. I learned so much from them, but there's this one older lady where one week I was talking about the change that came over Saul of Tarsus, how he became the Apostle Paul, and just the amazing, and she refused to believe me that they were the same person. And no matter what I said, she could not believe, how could someone that bad ever become that good, ever become a leader in the church? She would, you know, I just left and like, okay, nothing else to say. You won't believe me that this is possible. But that's a problem, right? She was a delightful lady. But this is the gospel that I'm welcomed in. I look at my, why did this? I sinned in this way. I failed in this way. I still struggle with my sin, but I'm welcomed into this. Why? Because the leader of this city, Jesus, right? He welcomes us in his love because he stepped into the punishment that we deserved. And that is the center of Christianity, the cross of Jesus Christ. He bore the wrath. He bore the wrath on his own shoulders. This is the beauty of the cross. So yes, we can think of all these bad guys, and we should include ourselves in there. We can think of Saul breathing out threats and murders against the church, participating in murdering people, and Jesus says, come on in. Because he bore the punishment upon himself for his sin, so that Paul could come in repentance and faith, and we could come in repentance and faith and be a part of this community, know these promises, live in the context of security, live in the context of grace. Psalm 87, directing us to these amazing promises that we can know now. And I know we hear these things week in and out, come to Jesus, see what Jesus has done. But do we live really live in the context of these promises where we know security, where we put our trust in Him. Again, I think we have to do it every morning. I think we have to come to God's Word. We have to reaffirm His promises in our minds. We have to move towards this. It takes work. I don't think it's one and done. We do this and then we just live through life in security. No, we have to come back again and again and hear His promises. God, You are my refuge. God, You are my strength. God, I turn to You. I hide in You. But are you living in the context of this promise of security, and do you know this beautiful community of grace where we were welcomed in, so we welcome others? We understand that we were God's enemies and we were welcomed in. So as we live in this place, we understand that this call to come and have these promises is for everyone. Somebody look like, well, yeah, that person's decent enough. That person agrees with me enough. You know, that yeah, I could see that happening. I'll pursue. No. This call to come and experience His grace even goes to God's enemies and should develop us into a community, a welcoming community of love. So as we live in this place, in a few months, as we move to the Fourth Ward neighborhood on the other side of Ann Arbor, we could look at that neighborhood and say, well, that's probably one of the most liberal neighborhoods in the U.S. I don't know. Like, the people who live there, maybe from a human perspective, they're unlikely to come and be a part of God's mission, God's work. I don't think that should enter our minds. I think we go there with love. How do we love the people in the community God has called us to? Sure, there are unique challenges, but this message is so amazing. These promises are so good. I want to share it with the people God has placed around me, and I will step into that. I want to share this. The security. How many people are walking through life feeling the insecurity of life as they age? And we can say, here, this city is real. This promise is offered. Come and know the Most High God as your God. Come and taste His grace. I pray for us as a church and as individuals that we more and more would be marked by God's promises and live in the context of these things, and that God would use this to build ourselves up, but also to push us forward on mission, where we would be a people who desire to share this. It's so good. We're living in that. It's so good. We want to share it more and more. And there's this natural work of looking for others to share God's promises, to share God's grace and God's love, that God would use us. Psalmists, the sons of Korah, say glorious things of You are spoken, O city of God. Glorious things. John Newton, the famous slave trader who became a pastor, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, wrote another hymn based on this psalm, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, Zion, City of Our God. And we're going to sing this now in just a few seconds. And as we sing this, prayerfully sing it and see the way Newton just beautifully unpacks some of these promises. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your grace in our lives. We thank You for this psalm that You've given to us. And I pray, Father, that in all that was said, You would lead us to enjoy these promises and to enjoy You. And even now, as we close in song, I pray that You would press these truths deep down into our hearts and whatever each of us is facing, the anxieties, the fears, the struggles in the area of our desires and temptation, may Your promises press home Your delight and care for us, and the hope that comes in turning toward You in repentance and faith. Lead us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.